Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How about this? We're going to get directly into what's transpired the last couple of days. There's a few more layers to it, but I do think this is interesting perspective. Black Jack McDowell, Jack McDowell, was not quite a Hall of Famer, but pretty damn good pitcher.
Yep.
With the White Sox and other teams, but primarily the White Sox. Played for the Yankees for a little bit as well. And he came out, he said some incredible stuff here. So he basically says, he asserts that his former skipper, Tony La Russa, stole signs electronically back in the 80s.
I saw that story.
And for those who didn't see it, let me just tell you how he actually did it, or how La Russa did it. Thank you, Tiki. Oh, this is one of those pens I don't feel as smart with. I guess I'm going to have to do. He says, let's see. There was a Gatorade. Oh, wow, this is amazing. There was a Gatorade sign out in right center. This is at the old Comiskey in the late 80s, all right? And it had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office.
Uh-huh.
And a camera zoomed in on the catcher. And then he says, I'm going to whistleblow this now because I'm getting tired of this crap. And then he wound up expounding. Let me give them credit. That interview was with, I believe it was in Charlotte. Yeah, WFNZ Charlotte, the Mac Attack. So good spot, good information from Blackjack, for somebody who was a really prominent pitcher in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, look, this
we
been,
shouldn't be stunned, but
of course
it's so interesting.
Not. It's been going on forever, this sign stealing thing. Like, sign stealing has been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it needed to be, that side of it needed to be eradicated. But the way that this Astros situation unfolded and the length with which they went to cheat is infuriating.
Yeah.
It frustrates me. And interestingly, there was an article, I think it was on ESPN today, talking about how social media and like the internet helped break this, because it would be, I forget the guy's name, his
John
real
Boy.
Name, John Boy, but I can't remember his real name. He would like go find these Astros games where whoever is at bat is just looking at change-ups. Mm-hmm. And he's like, here, this is how they know it's a change-up. You hear, like, banging.
Yeah.
Like, it's clear as day.
He was the one who...
It's clear as day on the TV broadcast. Right. He, bang, bang, he just looks at it. No bang, fastball. Swing. Like, it's like, the more I just, like, watch this and, like, studied, like, all of these clutch hits that were coming from the Jose Altuves and Bregmans and Springer. It was just like, man, you guys are like,
you're dirty.
You're dirty, and the respect that I had, like the admiration I had, is gone.
And it's
probably unfair to say that, and it's probably a knee jerk reaction. But this has been a week now. It's really been longer than that, because this came to light about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. But the punishments have been handed down just under a week. The more I like read into it and hear about it and think about it, this is so much worse than steroids. Because of what you said 2 days ago, BT, steroids, yes, they give you a physical advantage, and maybe you can recover. Like, you sprint around in the outfield, you're making diving plays, and you're banged up. If you're taking steroids, you're so much physically more durable, attrition has less of an impact on you. So you have an ability to be stronger and durable. But to know how hard it is to hit a pitch, I never did this at any high level, but I did take batting practice once with the Red Sox.
Right? Oh, yeah, I remember telling
you.
Yeah,
I told you this. Yeah. And I could not get that. And I was a good athlete. I was football. I was still playing football. So I was like big, strong.
Uh-huh. Please tell me you got one over the infield, dirt.
Yeah, but only until Coco Crisp came and gave me his bat. Right? He said, here, you got that light-ass bat, and you're swinging so fast that when you make contact, you're missing it. He's like, take this heavy-ass bat and just swing as hard as you can.
I wonder how many ounces it was.
I can't remember.
For
but
him,
but
Coco
it was heavy.
Wasn't a big guy.
He
was probably 33, 34
He was significantly
ounces.
Smaller than me. But he would say, try this. And then I started hitting them like pretty solid into uh-huh. into the
Who
outfield.
Who was throwing BP? Do you remember?
I think it was one of the coaches.
Did they have the net?
Yeah,
they had the
yeah. It was one of the pitching coaches.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, he was
at
throwing.
Fenway, too.
Maybe he was throwing 45 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now you turn that up times two and say, stand in here and
times
hit this
two
thing.
Plus 10.
Plus 10 and hit this thing? Yeah. I mean, forget it.
No, it's ridiculous.
And so, and if you knew it, and as you said,
yeah.
it just, God, it just makes it so inauthentic.
It's disgraceful.
Especially given all the clutch hits that they had and at critical moments against serious opposition.
Yeah. You know, and baseball is known for, you know, one thing about baseball, you know, is the purest angle, but also, you know, the clutch angle. I'm happy you point that out because if you think about some of the, you know, most poignant snapshots in baseball history, one is Bobby Thompson, Ralph Branca, Reggie Jackson, three bombs in the 77 World Series in the same game. Kirk Gibson limping around the bases in 88 when he comes off the bench, when he couldn't even move. And he tells Tommy Lasorda, I got one good swing in me. Get me up there. Eck hangs a slider.
Yep.
Boom, he cranks it.
Joe Carter.
Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life. A walk-off home run. That's...
Wild man.
Mitch. Hell yeah, Mitch Williams.
Yeah.
That's baseball. And you have to wonder, like, I think that Reggie did it all authentically, but I don't know. Was somebody?
But it wasn't.
Was somebody flipping a little light bulb in center field? I don't know.
It wasn't as technologically advanced as this was. I mean,
they were doing it in the '50s. Oh no, true.
I mean,
but relative to the times, it was.
Yes, relative to the times, it was. But it's interesting when because this John Boy at John Boy on Twitter, like he broke it down and he was really digging into it. And as I was listening to him. Like, he'd show the catcher showing the sign. So he'd have, like, have a pullout of the catcher showing, you know, throwing down the sign, whatever it is, fastball. Oh, here's a fastball coming. Now, listen to this. The bang comes 3 seconds later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so how can you get it from...
The transfer of information.
The transfer of information.
I don't know.
It was... So there had to be some digital technology being employed.
Meaning something strapped to you with where you can hit a button and it goes immediately.
Or...
You're not going to text it and get it there in 1.5 seconds.
That's right. So it had to been... transferred directly to the dugout, who then someone said, hit, it's a changeup, it's an off speed, hit the trash can, right? Yeah, or, as now we're talking about Jose Altuve, who allegedly had a buzzing device on his body, on his person, and that's why he didn't want his shirt taken off in 2017. That was
the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think 2017. Everybody on the field, I showed BT the video yesterday as we were leaving the show. It could just be coincidence. Maybe his wife really did say, if you take your shirt off, then you're not, you're going to sleep on the couch.
Come on.
Like, we're not idiots.
No,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean?
The 10-year-old boy at the pool who's wearing a shirt in the pool because he's
right.
a little embarrassed that he's not. Jose Altuve's ripped.
I would willingly take my shirt off. All of his teammates are changing on the field. Jose Altuve takes his shirt, he runs into the dugout and changes in the dugout.
Yeah.
It's all circumstantial. It's no actual proof. In fact, MLB even came out and said we couldn't find any proof that they wore devices or anything of that nature. And so that's what, and it's one reason why they exonerated some of the players. But God, the respect that I feel like they've lost is vast.
It's the worst scandal in baseball history.
I mean, it's up there, dude.
It makes Pete Rose look like a priest.
Yeah.
It makes steroids look like an aspirin.
And the reason that it's so bad is because they won the World Series.
See, every day,
right?
CC Sabathia gets angrier about this.
And he deserves it. He should.
He's going to probably get in the Hall of Fame anyway.
Yeah.
But how would his resume's candidacy be with two more, or at least minimally one more World Series?
That's right.
That would be just the final push in the end zone.
That's
which
right.
Which he probably doesn't need.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah, but CeCe is the perfect example to talk about because he's a real, like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'd use a different word if I was in a different company, but he's that guy.
He is.
Right? He's polished, but he is real about it. He's going to tell you exactly what he feels. And you do see him getting angry. And this is just on social media. Forget what he says in person, right?
Imagine.
And so, like, that's the feel, I think, of Major League Baseball players who have been cheated by this. And we're going to have Trevor Bauer in here in a second, BT, and I'm sure he can expound on it because you just felt like you couldn't win. right? No matter how good your stuff was that day, if they know what you're throwing, you're not winning.
That's so wrong, too.
It's so wrong,
you know what?
Man.
I'll tell you what it's like. Here's an equivalent for you. Remember the, well, of course you do, the Tecmo football way before Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's one of the first sports games I really remember playing. And there was a button. It was a little piece of plastic with only four button options. Now I don't even know how to use the controller. It's too elaborate, but I kind of like those. But there was a sequence. You pick a play, and it was a basic play.
Yeah.
Blitz, you know, whatever. But if you picked the play that your opponent picked, I don't care if you were Bo Jackson, you couldn't get away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'd look over and dig. Because I was always playing with the Jets, and I was always getting housed anyway. That's good. You got C. And you'd stop them right away. Yeah. Is it really that different?
No.
It's not that different.
That's exactly
the
same.
You know what I would do, Teak? I don't want this to sound the wrong way. Like, you know, Tony Tough Guy. But this should happen. The first time Altuve digs in the batter's box on opening day, 97 right under his chin.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
hit him.
And by the way, that's how it used to be policed. Like, so sign stealing has been going on forever, as long as baseball's been played. How did you alleviate it? Mm-hmm. You throw at a guy.
That's right.
You hit him. And back then it was
Bob Gibson.
Forget going under the chin. You're getting plunked.
And they didn't have plastic helmets.
No.
That didn't come until, I want to say, the 60s. I mean, you look back at old, and I don't even mean like the 30s, but you look at like Mickey Mantle in the 50s.
Yeah.
Their helmets were pliable.
Look, I think baseball players right now are pissed off.
Yeah, they are.
They are really pissed off. And this isn't just like, okay, yeah, you guys, yeah, okay, you got one over. Yeah, you got us. Mm-hmm. They want their pound of flesh.
They're not going to get it.
They're not going
to
get it.
Which is why you have to go and throw something under somebody's chin.
True, but this is also why Rob Manfred messed up, right? He miscalculated how much ire there would be within the players of Major League Baseball. He didn't think that they would hold it against their peers.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely are. And I got to tell you, I think fans are getting more and more pissed off about this the more they read about it.
Okay. Oh, so I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, because cheating is everywhere. Like, we see it in horse racing. I did my sports minute on this. We see it in football with the Pats, allegedly. We see it in the Olympics. It's everywhere. And it's the more you think about how, like, sullied and disingenuous and inauthentic our sports world is, it just pisses you off. It mm-hmm. really, it really, really does. What's real? You don't know
I
anymore.
I said that to Tiki walking into our studio today.
Yeah.
I don't even know it's real anymore.
That's right.
Because I want to weave in, at least, you know, do it responsibly, because it's been walked back and people need to, rather than just see something on Twitter mm-hmm. that Mike Trout's taking HGH, we need to let everybody know the context behind that, which we will coming up. But I also want to get into this coming up. You know, you said that baseball fans, and you're right, are beyond angry. And baseball players are angry. Why can't Rob Manfred go back to the well and dish out more punishment?
He should.
Want to get into that coming up.
Absolutely.
Just because you're ruled one way doesn't mean you can't add to it. You know, if you're 9 years old and you don't make you better, you do whatever you're supposed to, you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know what, then you get the first punishment. If you do something worse, you get a second punishment. Like, there could be waves of punishment. He doesn't need to be married to what he doled out the other day. Let's get into it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All right, Teak, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. Trevor Bauer, next segment. Now with the Reds, and you know, he threw some gas on the fire by basically saying he's got great intel that implicates the Astros as, you know, even, you know, deeper beneath the surface. That's where the whole buzzer inquiry came up. Baseball squashed that. Before we at least address what happened with Mike Trout, indirectly, Mike Trout wasn't involved with it, but somebody kind of brought him into it this morning. Actually, the son of a former baseball player. The consequences to me, if I'm the commissioner, right? I try to, and they didn't do this with steroids early enough or effectively enough. I try to put myself, I'm Manfred, and I'm sitting here saying, all right, middle of January, it's almost 5 in the afternoon, spring training's about a month or so, pitchers and catchers, mm-hmm. season shortly thereafter, starts in March this year for everybody. what's the sentiment on opening day? I'm going to try to parachute into that moment, opening day. And because everybody sells out opening day, the red, white, and blue bunting, it's American tradition. It's an American tradition. And if he doesn't do anything else, I believe that the sentiment will be anger that will not dissipate from today. I think it might even get worse because we'll probably learn more.
Yeah.
And if I'm Rob Manfred, this might seem unprecedented because it was the Manfred report was over months.
Yep.
I think he's got to go back with his people, and I think they've got to dig a little deeper, and I think they have to levy some different punishments.
I wish they would. They should do something to the players. And you know, what I really wish would happen is that cheaters in sports, no matter who you are, and I know that sponsors and everything else relies on certain guys for sales and interest and things of that nature, you ban them. Right? You're just done. Whether it's a 2-year ban or an infinite ban, like, you can't have this. Because I honestly can't look at the Red Sox from last year and the two years ago and the Astros from 3 years ago and say, I really believe, like, I authentically believe that they are the best team in baseball. Like, I can't say that now. I mean, then I was like, this team is amazing. Like, if I take myself back in 2017, it was like, this team is the greatest team I've ever seen. Right? They're amazing. They have it all. They do everything well. Right? They hit. They're clutch. They can manufacture runs.
They catch the baseball.
They bang them over the fence. They pitch well. Like,
they're well managed.
They're well managed. Like, everything was like perfect. And now I look back on it and I feel completely opposite of that. And I don't think that that's going to fade for me at any point in the next, you know, six or eight months before these guys start getting into the middle of the baseball season. And so could Manfred go back and penalize the players? Yes, he could. But I think I think there's already an agreement sort of in place that's going to prevent him from actually doing that. But what he could
because of the immunity.
Immunity and the MLBPA and all these other, things that they kind of put in place.
He could work around that. It's not a court of law.
He could, but I think what he has to do is say anything close to this, it's not. You're not getting a one-season ban. You're done, right? You're out of the game, period, because it screws with the integrity of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just like steroids did, but this is worse than steroids.
It is. I think the players' union needs to have a role in this as well. And, you know, things are collectively bargained. You were part of a union.
Yep.
We're both part of unions in broadcasting. You know, the responsibility of the union is to look out for the employees. I mean, and that's the shortest version of the definition. And, you know, if my wages and the way I'm perceived are being adversely affected because somebody is either chemically enhanced or digitally enhanced that is not allowing me to maximize what my true potential on the field might be, that would then obviously be commensurate with the proper contract. I think they need to find a way and say, you know what? I don't care about the resistance. I don't give a damn what player's going to resist this because I don't think many would actually.
Yep.
If you are embroiled and it's proven that you cheated to that degree, then whatever percentage they collectively bargain, boom, gone from your contract.
Yeah.
Gone from your contract. Because they don't care about, H.A. Hinch is good. I got no problem. I'm going to bat first on opening day.
Yeah.
But if you lose $13 million or if you lose $9 million,
hit them where
that's going to get you to think.
Yeah, hit them where it hurts. Here's the other thing. And, you know, back to the steroids comparison, BT. Mm. Like, in the steroids era, what, 3 per team? Maybe 4?
I think it was a lot more now.
But the stars, right? You think about the stars. That's who we talked about. Like, when I think about this controversy, it's like the whole team benefited from it.
But I got to be honest, Teague. I'm not just trying to play contrarian. I think when you go to the apex of the epidemic, whether it was directly steroids or HGH component, I mean, I believe that if you said, hey, what do you think was the average number per roster?
Yeah.
I'm going over-under is 15.
And again,
at
the end of the day, though, it wasn't like actually like illegal. You know what I mean? It was illegal, but it wasn't like frowned upon. I mean, people knew that they would take, so it was kind of tactically accepted. And so, like, I've always given passes to steroids. I always have, even in the NFL. It's like, okay, great. If you can be bigger and stronger than me, maybe faster than me, but you still got to beat me man to man. You know what I mean? One-on-one. Like, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, but if I don't have steroids pumping through my body, maybe I'm not naturally faster than you, and maybe I don't run
by you.
Yeah, but
here's the thing. I always felt like I was going to win anyway.
Well, I mean, just in general, independent of you. Well, I mean, you were fast.
There's a physicality to football that matters, like a toughness, like an unmeasurable, like, I don't know, like an oomph that matters in football.
Definitely.
Baseball is different because it's so precise. That's the difference. There's a precision to baseball, right? I could totally screw up a play in football and still go 50 yards for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In baseball, if you totally screw up, you look like a fool.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Swinging in air.
You're swinging in air and down on a knee and like, maybe, you know, twist something or hurt something.
Yeah, stepping in the bucket, baseball, shoulder flying, baseball, flailing. I know all about it.
Baseball requires precision.
Yeah.
And to cheat your way to knowing, like, how to be precise, that's not good, man.
It's well said. I want to do this real quick before we get Trevor Bauer in studio. I was having Mike search. I don't even recall what it was. I would have done it on air, but I just wanted to be able to talk to Tiki. What did I tweet the night that the Astros beat the Yankees? What did I tweet?
You sure you want me to read this?
Yeah. I mean, it's out there. I didn't delete it, so, I mean, I know I didn't curse because I never
did. Is this freezing cold?
This is freezing cold. Oh. No, my fingers and my toes and my tongue is like...
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, frostbite.
Really? Wait, but it's not a prediction, is it?
No, it's a reaction to what happened.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Better team won. Said it all summer. Said it all week. Congrats to the Astros. Model franchise.
Oh,
okay, hold on. No,
Yankees need to look in the mirror and seriously rethink a few of their organizational concepts.
Yeah, that would be Garrett
Cole.
Like not cheating.
Not what you said. I just
No. So read it again fast.
Well, you called the Astros a model franchise.
Okay. I'm not embarrassed of that. Matter of fact, that just further illuminates
my point. Well,
that's
what I just said, BT. That's what I felt at the time.
That was how much respect. This is coming from a guy who tweeted that probably 5 minutes after Altuve turned around Chapman's bomb, and I'm not going to the World Series as a Yankee fan, the first World Series my little boy would actually remember watching.
Oh,
you know
God.
How badly I want to get to that World Series? Because now he actually sits up and watches games. So for me to write that in real time, I'm not alone. I mean, they draft well, they develop well, they catch the ball, they run well, they play with integrity, they have aces that throw 100 and put zeros on the board. Model franchise.
No.
But now, I mean, of course.
God, the more I watch this video of Altuve off to Chapman.
That's a joke.
As he comes to home plate, he's like, no, I'm whatever. He's saying something. I mean, yeah.
See, I don't think that's a freezing cold take. I think that's an awesome take. I think that's a humble take by a guy who is doing what a lot of fans don't do, giving credit to the opposition. How is that a freezing cold take?
No, because...
That's a stand-up take.
No. It's because it's freezing cold.
No,
because
of the model.
Because they are not the model franchise.
No, I hear you. But at least I had the gumption to do that. I was a good sport about it.
But at the time, it was right.
Of course it was right. Now it's wrong. Dead wrong. All right, Axe Update. Trevor Bauer is going to join us next in studio. This will be awesome. Take it away, Ak. What you got? A Sunday on CBS, it's the AFC Championship featuring a matchup of two contrasting styles. Derrick Henry getting ready to roll people over. And the Titans head to Kansas City to take on Pat Mahomes and the seemingly unstoppable Chiefs offense. The winner punches a ticket to Super Bowl 54. Tiki and I will be out there with Santa doing a bunch of shows. It's going to be sweet. NFL Today crew is out there this weekend. Mm-hmm. Lock and Four is out there as well, the whole crew. So it all starts with a special two-hour edition of the NFL Today beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific, and Jim Nance, Tony Romo on the call, Tracy, Gene Steratore, et cetera. All right, look who's in studio. This guy's a troublemaker. Look at him. Nah, just kidding. Trevor Bauer. Trevor, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. You are uniquely, your mind works in a very unique way.
It does.
Which we like. You're not afraid to speak your mind. You use social media in an interesting way and in a compelling way.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said some things yesterday, but let me ask you this. Did you ever surmise, whether it was as deep as we've learned it to be or a more rudimentary level that this kind of stuff was going on like this?
Yeah.
You
honestly,
did.
Players talk. And so stuff like this gets filtered out in inner baseball circles, not necessarily to the public, but players hear things, players see things, you notice things in the game. You're talking to a buddy on another team that plays them, like, hey, like, did you ever notice this? Like, dude, I noticed the same thing. And then, like, stuff like this is kind of there's a lot of stuff that goes around in inner baseball circles that we know long before anything becomes public, and much of it never becomes public.
Yeah. Now, the extent of this one, though, seems pretty vast, right? It feels like, obviously, there was coordination with video, and then in the dugout, and then even electronically, it seems like, with some of these guys, at least allegedly, even though Major League Baseball said they didn't have a clue that they didn't find any evidence. I don't believe that at all. If you knew that this was happening, how do you combat it? How would you have combated it? Can you at all?
That's tough as a pitcher because, like, they know what you're going to be throwing.
In real time.
That's where I draw the line is like, okay, if you know my sequences going into the game, then let me just switch up my sign sequences, right? But if you're able to tell pitch to pitch to pitch, and even if I change my sequences up, then, like, it still doesn't work. You still know. You don't leave me an option. There's nothing that I can do. The only way you can really do this is go away from catcher sequences and just have the pitcher call the game with certain different body language and stuff like that.
Now, how hard is that?
It's hard strictly because no one practices it.
Yeah.
No one has that kind of built in. In spring training, you're going through your signs. Like, catcher's been giving signs since 12 years old, whenever it starts, you know? But no, the pitcher never practices, like, okay, I'm going to stick my tongue out on the right for this pitch and the left on this pitch. So you're constantly having to think about it if you go to doing that.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Bauer is with us in studio. I mean, there's a great website. I've referenced it a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. I know you know Fangraphs is tremendous. Pitch probability, you know, how frequently you throw a certain pitch. So, you know, it's one thing, you know, if Team X is playing Team Y and a fan wants to say, all right, what's Trevor Bauer's pitch? How often does he throw his fastball? I don't know, I'm just 61%, whatever it might be, 61% of the time. That's one thing, and you can deduce as a player, we know, listen, when it's time to strike somebody out, we know what your go-to pitch is. But now the art of baseball is pitching backwards and pitching out of sequence. So it's so deep-rooted to the point, Trevor, where I said this to Tiki about 10 minutes ago, I don't give a damn what Rob Manfred dropped the other day. And I don't think he will, but what I think he should do is go back and levy more punishments just based on what's come out and the reaction of baseball fans. No sport challenges the fandom like baseball. Like, we love it, and then they crush us, and they do nothing about it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's consistent in a long line of baseball not understanding their fan base and connecting with their fan base in the right ways. And it's a major black eye right now. My hope on the whole thing is that it all comes out now. Let's just have one incident.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move past it. It's good timing because we're going into a season. We can talk about the new season and the absence of it. Let's put it in the past. The worst thing to happen would be this, and then 4 or 5 months from now, something else comes out.
Which is why the Mets probably had to get rid of Beltran. That's what I was saying, almost preemptively.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure about that situation because I don't know, obviously, anything that goes on internally there. But, yeah, anybody associated with it, just it gets called into question, like, rightfully or wrongfully, at least among the fan base, what is their capacity to lead and their integrity and this?
So Trevor, you talk about, like, moving on from this, and I think you're right, that needs to happen, but how hard is that going to be, forget the fans, for you all, for you as players? Like, I'm close with CC Sabathia, and he's getting angrier and angrier as the days go on because of, obviously, the Yankees and the Astros and the Red Sox both being implicated in here, and they both knocked them out in subsequent seasons. What is the conversation with you and your teammates and your peers across the league? I mean, you guys got to be pissed off about this.
Yeah, big time. It ranges. Like, the level of fury ranges between the different individuals. I talked to, more than 10 guys yesterday just about stuff, and ranging from guys being upset that, look, man, this guy was at my position. If he knew all the pitches that were coming and he was able to put up better offensive stats, now I have to compete against him on the free agent market.
Yep.
That's taking money out of my pocket, ranging from that to, man, these guys knocked us out of the playoffs. This is BS. I would have had a chance to win a ring.
Legacies.
All that. And baseball, more than any other sport, is so much into the legacy and comparing current day guys to postseason heroes of the past or to whatever the case is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, how much did this affect? You know, so it takes money out of people's pockets. It completely changes future players, too, that even aren't in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Aaron Judge wins MVP versus not winning MVP, his salary and arbitration is drastically different because of that award, which then affects – he'll be used as a comp for the next 5 to 10 years that affects people that aren't even in the league now.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I said that.
Yeah.
I think he made $8 million in arbitration.
Yeah.
And if he's got that MVP on the resume, who knows? Maybe he makes 12 or 13. If he wins no MVPs, we're kicking this down the road, but if he finishes his career with no MVPs and he's a borderline Hall of Fame guy, I don't know, maybe the one MVP gets him in. I mean, I said to Tiki as well, I'm pissed off today. I'm not going to lie to you, Trevor. This is really bothering me, man. I want to know if you would consider doing this, and also do you think some of your peers would? I wouldn't hit him, but the moment Altuve digs into the box, first at bat for 2020, 97 under his chin. Is that out of bounds? Is that something that would be accepted or even wanted by your brethren as pitchers or baseball players in general?
There's a lot of people that feel that way. Personally, I won't. I have no interest in doing that. I don't think it's right to ever go above someone's belt because pitchers don't have that pinpoint of command where you can just, I'm not going to hit the guy in the head. Right? Especially with Altuve specifically, because he kind of stands off the plate, but he's closed a little bit, and he dives towards the plate. So it's really hard to judge where he's going to end up in relation to the plate. I think anytime you talk about going up and in on somebody and take the chance of hitting him in the head, I mean, we've seen this with guys getting hit with line drives and losing careers.
That's true. Throw it behind him then. Go bulldoze him and just fire it off the screen.
Sure. I think that's going to happen. I think they're going to get hit a little bit.
Mm.
And I'm not saying it should or shouldn't happen. This is just a prediction of what I think is going to happen based on the sentiment that I've heard around the league, you know?
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But I guess it's not just the pitchers either with the Astros. That's at least what some people are saying, right?
Well,
I mean, it's not just the hitters.
Yeah, I mean, because the resurgence of Justin Verlander's career was amazing.
I mean, is it all spin rate? I mean, really.
is it?
Is it all spin rate?
No, it's not. It's not. And this is the thing I'm personally most upset about.
Yeah, because it's your
situation.
Position.
Yeah. Well, it's my position, but I'm personally most upset about the fact that the Astros do so many things right. They're so advanced and so ahead of the time on development and analytics and scouting that now this one thing where they chose to step over the line is going to set back the perception of all the things they do.
That's a good point.
5, 10, 15, who knows how many years? Because now all their accomplishments will be associated with cheating and not the fact that they actually develop players very well and have really advanced scouting reports and analytics and great information that they can deliver to the players. So to answer the question, no, it's not all spin rate. It's the information, the way they're telling their guys to pitch, the feedback that they can give them post start or going into the off season for development, and that's all going to get washed away because they're going to be associated with cheating.
Yeah. So,
but are there are there substances too? Like, do
there's
you believe
substances on every team?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's I would guess that probably 70% of pitchers in the league use something that's technically illegal.
Like pine tar. What else?
Pine tar, firm grip, sunscreen and rosin, pelican bat wax, gorilla snot.
Oh, he's got a pharmacy over here, huh?
Where do you consider that and on the cheating scale? Yeah, the cheating scale. Where is that?
So I come down on this harsher than most people, but I think it's worse than steroids, personally. Because it can affect every single pitch of every single game, and it completely changes the trajectory of someone's career. I mean, if you look at the numbers, like just on fastballs alone, if 2,400 RPM and you jump to 2,600 RPM, you're drastically better. If you can jump to 2,800 RPM, you're an elite pitcher. Your fastball is an elite pitch in the league. And so I'm personally around 2,400 RPM. It's dead average.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My fastball sucks. If I use stuff, I know for a fact I would average 28 plus. I would have a top five fastball of all starters in baseball. How does that change my career?
Yeah, significantly.
You know, with your secondary stuff, it would make you probably a Cy Young candidate every year.
My secondary stuff would get better, too. I would have the best repertoire in baseball far and away, the deepest and best.
Mm-hmm.
So what prevents you from doing it?
Good question.
I've always valued competing on a fair playing field and knowing that I can do something myself, like proving to myself that I can accomplish through hard work and dedication that I can accomplish something. But I got to tell you, like, there's the other argument to it is, you know, people ask me, would you do everything you can to win? That's, you know, everything that is in your power. I said, yeah, I would. I sleep well, I eat well, I train, all this different stuff. They said, okay, but by you not using it and everybody else is using it, you're costing your team. Like,
wins.
You could be a better pitcher. You're negatively affecting your team. And I'm like, well, you know, that's a good point, because I know that I would be a drastically different and a much better pitcher if I did use it. So where now where do you come down? Like, do I hold out? Am I almost being selfish, just sticking to my morals and then not giving my teammates and the organization the best possible chance to win, given that it's been discussed with the league multiple years now and they clearly have no intention of doing anything to change it?
Yeah.
So it's a tough question.
Yeah, it's a tough line to straddle, because history won't judge you on your morality. They'll judge you on your results.
And I have to be fair. I say the league has no interest in doing anything about it. They are working on things. They're trying to make the baseball tackier, and they're having internal discussions. So it's not fair to say that they have no interest in it. It's just a very slow process, and nothing has been done yet. And so at what point do you just say, okay, this is the current landscape, do I do it or not?
Yeah.
And like you said, history doesn't judge you on morality. It judges you on results.
I got to play something for you really quickly before we let you go. So we had your former Skip on yesterday. Mm. I had one question to ask him before we let him go. We're having Trevor Bauer on tomorrow. What's he going to tell us about you?
I don't know. I'm kind of afraid to answer that. You know what? That's very interesting. That's the first time I think somebody's asked me a question and I have no answer.
None.
I don't know.
Oh,
you
man.
Guys, I would maybe put your seatbelts on.
Well, we're strapped in. I know. We're strapped in. What do you think of your old Skip?
Man, the first word that comes to mind is legend.
Yeah.
You know, just being a baseball fan and growing up, like, I was a fan of pitching staff. So it was, you know, Oakland and the Braves. My majority of my childhood.
And then with Mulder and those guys?
Mulder and Zito, and the Braves with Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. Mm-hmm. And then in the early 2000s, it was Pedro and Schilling and those Red Sox teams. And, I mean, the first one in, was it 84 years or whatever the case was? And then just those, Cowboy Up, and like just that whole era of baseball that he was there for is like, so that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is just legend. Obviously, tremendous amount of success in managing and just being around the game, tremendous amount of knowledge. That's what comes to mind.
We'd have to even strap that.
I think he would be pleased with that. Now, I know you're working with Momentum, which is the first player-led media company that allows you guys to be credentialed and have your own voice, which is kind of really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The point of that is trying to solve three main problems. One, you know, baseball doesn't connect with the young fans as well right now. So the way to do that is to give personality to the players and highlight some of the things that they're really interested in that the youth are also interested in. That's one thing. Second thing is players don't really have a way of getting their voice and their message out to a large nationwide audience other than their Twitter accounts. But if the national media doesn't pick stuff up, they're very limited. And then the third thing is just controlling their narrative, you know, the media in general looks to have, there's this clickbait stuff that goes on, and just want to bring personality to the players, give them an outlet get their stuff out.
Thanks for coming in, my man. Trevor Bauer, good stuff. Third hour coming up. We'll tweet that out for you, by the way. We'll take care of you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.